is becoming one of my favorite preaching Sunday morning messages. I think it's good that we look at biblically what the Word of God talks about and says in concerns to our mothers, and in particular, what the Word of God says about how we honor our mothers. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul in his writings to the church of Ephesus, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read together verses 1, 2, and 3. And it's interesting here because Paul is quoting something that is referenced in the Old Testament. It is then referenced by Christ in the Gospels. And then Paul now references it in the Episcopals. And I find it interesting that we see this verse of Scripture referenced in every aspect of the Bible, Old Testament, in the New Testament through the Gospel and through Paul's writings in his Episcopals. And they teach us about this important notion of honoring our mothers and our fathers. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'd ask that you stand with me, please, as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here Paul wrote and quoted these Scriptures. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." You may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the blessing of today. Lord, it may not be as beautiful with sunshine as we would like to have it, but Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come this morning and we can gather in Your house, and that we can fellowship, and that we can worship here one with another, and that today we can come together as like-minded individuals celebrating and remembering our mothers. Lord Father, I pray that today that You would teach us from Your Word the importance of how we honor our mothers and our fathers. Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody here today who is suffering, Lord, through the loss of a mother. I know that there are many here today who their mother is now gone on. And Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I ask a special healing touch upon them, Lord, that You would just bless them in a special way like only You know how. Uplift them to You today. Lord, I pray for those that are blessed, that we might still have our mothers here with us, Lord. And I would pray that we might just see how magnificent is Lord, that You have blessed us with the opportunities to still have a mother within our lives. Lord, Father, I pray for those also today who the relationship with their mother may not be as they would have wanted it to be. Lord, I know that there are many splintered homes and many splintered relationships, and Lord, I just pray over those situations today as well. Lord, as always, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who's never known You, that, Lord, we see today that the greatest way that we might honor our mothers and fathers would be to give our hearts and our lives to You and be saved. Lord, Father, I just ask that You preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. That, Lord, Father, You would just use this time to speak unto our hearts, that You would use this time to make us the body of believers that You would want us to be. So it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. If you've got something to write with, I encourage you to get your pencil and paper out, get your cell phone out and make notes in an application there if you've got an iPad, because we're going to talk about seven things this morning. Seven things about how we can honor our mothers. And you thought you were going to get out early to take your mother to dinner, didn't you? No, we got seven things to talk about. And you might say, how in the world is it that I could preach long enough to share seven things? And it's actually because I'm on a weight loss program. I'm losing weight and getting in shape, and I'm starting to feel better. And it's going to help me to preach longer. Now, how is it? That's okay, you can laugh. I'm making light of some things here. How is it that I am losing weight, you might ask? I've got into one of those weight loss programs where you buy the meals. You know, you do the meal prep and you buy the meal, and you buy a month's worth at a time. How am I doing on that, you might ask? I think I'm doing rather well. I'm already up to next Wednesday. Yeah. Amen. Don't give a fat man a month's worth of food all at once. I'm just kidding. We do have seven things to talk about, but we're going to move quickly this morning. The first thing that we learn from God's Word about how we can honor our mothers, I believe that we have to learn to love them unconditionally. I think a lot of times we want to put some kind of a condition on how we love. You know, I love you if, I love you but. In reality, we learn from the Word of God that if we're really going to honor our mothers and our fathers, in particular our mothers, we have to learn to love them unconditionally. Are all mothers easy to love all the time? No. It's okay, you can be honest this morning. You know, moms do things sometimes that embarrass us, do they not? Amen. Mothers do things that embarrass us sometimes. So, you know, if you can remember growing up how maybe your mother bragged on you all of the time, and it maybe was a little embarrassing to you. You may be here as a grown adult and your mother is still bragging on you in public everywhere you go. And proof of that is through social media, right? You know, every mother wants to share about their children and their lives and all of those things. And it might embarrass us sometimes the way that moms want to talk so highly of us. And we say, you know, hey mom, cool it a little bit. But we still love them unconditionally. Even in the life of Jesus Christ, and here in a few minutes, we're going to look at some verses of Scripture from the life of Jesus and how that He dealt with some tense situations at times with His mother where I feel like He was probably a little embarrassed. But one interesting thing that I thought about when I thought about Jesus and the interaction that He had with His mother, especially during His ministry. You know, by the time that Christ is in His public ministry, Joseph isn't in the picture anymore. And the reason for that is most everybody agrees that Joseph has passed on. So you see that Christ, as the eldest son, takes on His role, as was the custom of that day in that culture, to be basically the caretaker of His mother. And He was with her at social events and social functions. And Christ had a very loving and intimate relationship with His mother. And as I thought about the relationship that Jesus had with His mother Mary, I thought about how that He loved her unconditionally. Now think about this. I want to share a verse of Scripture with you. And it's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You might think this is a different type of verse to read on Mother's Day, but I'll get to the point that I want to make quickly. But God shows His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to tell you why I thought of that verse in thinking about Christ and the relationship that He had with His mother in loving her unconditionally. Do you know and understand that Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross and He gave His life, He gave His life for all of the world that they might go free if they but believe in Him. And the very moments that in which Christ hung on the cross, Christ was also hanging on the cross for the sake of His mother. Christ loved His mother unconditionally, and Christ gave His life for His mother that she too might go free. Just as Christ was the Savior of the world, so was Jesus in that moment the Savior of His mother. And I think about how that as Christ loved the world unconditionally and gave His life for us, so He loved His mother unconditionally, even so that He gave His life for His own mother. In John chapter 19, verses 25, 6, and 7, we see the imagery of what was taking place here with Christ at the end of His life and the interaction that He had with His mother. But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Silophus, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple, speaking of John, John was the only disciple present there, whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. Here we see this beautiful image of Christ on the cross, literally dying and giving His life for all of humanity. And in that moment and in that hour, He looks upon His mother and He says, "Woman, behold your son." In that very moment, I believe that Christ is expressing to His mother His unconditional love in the very life that He gave, not just for the whole world, but in His life that He also gave for her that she might go free. This image is so beautiful as we see Christ on the cross and just thinking about the very fact that Christ in His last moments, at the end of His life, hanging on a cross, if you could imagine the pain and the suffering. You know, Christ is the Son of God, but never forget and never fail to think that when Christ hung on the cross, He felt the pain. Christ felt every stripe on His body. Christ felt the emotional pain of the fact that none of His disciples were there save John. Think about the emotional pain that He felt in knowing that His Father had to turn His very head from His Son that He could die so that the world could go free. And in that moment, Christ still loved unconditionally His mother and sought to care for her and make end-of-life preparations for her. As much as we are to love our mothers unconditionally, the second thing that I believe that the Word of God teaches us is that we are to learn to respect our mothers. In particular, John 19:26, in this story that we read here, where He says, "Woman, behold your son." A lot of people in today's mindset, if we read this verse, we might would think, what son would say unto his mother, "Woman"? But if you look up the translation of the word, for what it meant in the Greek, for what Christ was actually saying here, He was using a term of the highest respect. He wasn't just saying, "Woman," but He was crying out, "Mother." And He was using a term that would have showed her and everybody who was present in that moment just how much He respected and loved His mother by the term that He used. Mothers are worth being respected. Amen? Amen. Mothers do so much. Mothers will do more for you undoubtedly than your fathers will, right? Amen. Yeah, well, you really need to get into it. I'm telling you, if you don't think that your mother won't do more for you than your father will, you've lost your mind. You know, I can think about it growing up. You know, when you get hurt as a kid, your dad says, what? Walk it off. You'll be okay. What does mother do? She takes you to the hospital and finds out that you actually have broken bones and provides medical treatment and good care for you. I mean, thank God for mothers. Mothers are worth being respected because of their role, because of what they do, because of their place in the household. Not just as mother, but as the wife of the house. And they are worthy to be respected. And here, Christ on the cross, even in His greatest hour of pain, agony, and suffering, still took the moment to speak to His mother in a respectful tone. Anybody ever spoken to mother in a disrespectful tone? Amen, a time or two. Let me tell you, my mother had a craft, and she probably still does. I've just gotten old enough that I don't experience it as much anymore. But when I was a kid growing up, my mother had a craft, and it was using any weapon she could get her hands on. Umbrellas, switches, belts, and you might think, oh my goodness, what kind of home did you grow up in? A good one. Amen. I grew up in a good one, you know what? And I got whipped and I got spanked, and I'm not telling you that that's the only way to raise your children, and I'm not advocating for you to use violence on your children, but I'm just telling you that that was the method of choice in my household. And I'll say this, it made me the man that I am today, and it taught me to respect people. And it taught me to fear also. Amen? Amen? Good, healthy fear is okay. You know, Paul, in his writing there in Ephesians, he tells them, you know, this is the first commandment. In honoring your mother and your father, he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that you will live long. Why? Twofold. One is God will bless you with a long life. And the second is that if you do not respect your mother, she'll kill you. Just as plain and simple as that. She'll take you out of this world. Some mothers have a great gift for being able to teach their children respect, But mothers are certainly due the highest respect and the same level of respect that Christ gave to His mother as He spoke to her and says, "Woman, behold your son." The third thing that we learn from God's Word about our mothers and honoring them is this, is that we have to understand them sympathetically. Now, what do you mean by that? You have to understand them sympathetically. Sometimes you just have to understand where mother is coming from. It's a good trait in life to be able to be sympathetic and empathetic toward people. But I think it's even more vital that we learn to be sympathetic and empathetic with where our mothers are coming from. You know, I remember growing up, and I think I've shared this little story with you before. I can remember growing up, my grandmother, my dad's mother, is an interesting character. We grew up in Appalachia, poor. My grandmother was a very religious woman, a very cautious woman. And she would say and do things sometimes that you just didn't understand it. You know, like she had an unnatural fear of being hit in the head. You know, I think I've shared this before you. When I was a kid growing up, and we would go to town to go to the post office, she'd say, "You know, you got to watch. Somebody might come up behind you and knock you in the head." All right, Grandma. And to this day, in my profession, I don't think anybody's going to knock me in the head because I'm always watching. Always. But I think about my dad growing up, and you know, my grandmother would say stuff sometimes, and man, it'd just get on my dad's nerves, I could tell. But my dad was always good with being very sympathetic and understanding where my grandmother was coming from. The life that she lived and the conditions that she was raised in. My family was raised very poor. Very, very poor. And I think my dad understood sympathetically where my grandmother came from. And I think it's important that as we grow older, we be able to understand where our mother is coming from when she tells us, "Don't do that. Don't hang out with that group of people. You know, don't go to that place. Don't do those things." Mother ever tell you that growing up? Yeah, absolutely. And you know why? Because they care. You know why else? It's because they've learned. They've been there and they've done that. They've seen it. They've experienced it. And they know to give the appropriate advice when it's needed. But I also think about an interaction from the book of John, chapter 2. Christ, in His first miracle, I think it's interesting that the very first miracle that Christ ever worked, His mother was present for it. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says this, "And on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with His disciples. When the wine ran out, Mary, the mother of Jesus, says to Him, 'They have no wine.'" Now, does anybody think that's interesting? Mary was at this wedding, and it just so happens that her son was invited. And they run out of wine, and what does she do? She tells her son about it. And then Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Anybody ever been in a situation like this in life? Where your mother tells you something, and you say, "What does that have to do with me?" Well, hold on a second. Mother's going to tell you what it has to do with you. He says, "My hour has not come yet." And then in verse 5, His mother says to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." Jesus says, "My hour has not come yet." This is the discussion. What does this have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. And Mary's response is not to Jesus, but it's to the servants. And she says, "You do what my boy tells you to do." There's no further discussion. Does anybody else have this same experience with your mother in life? There's no further discussion. You're going to do what she tells you to do. His mother says to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus says to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And He says to them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now became wine, and did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he says to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and then people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at the Cana in Galilee, and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Sometimes we just have to understand sympathetically where our mothers are coming from. Jesus says, what does this have to do with me, and this really isn't my hour? And his mother says, no, you're going to do this. And Jesus does this miracle, and they believe on him. And the miracle is so great that if you don't get the interaction there, the miracle that Christ has performed there is so great where the master of the feast says, you brought the good wine, then the poor wine, but then you saved the last to be the very best. The miracle that Christ did there was so great that it says that he created the best wine. And they believed on him and the miracle that he performed. Sometimes mothers really do know best. And we have to understand sympathetically where those mothers are coming from. In this story in John 2, we also learn the very next thing about honoring our mothers. As much as we understand them sympathetically from this verse of Scripture, we also learn that we are to listen attentively to our mothers. If we're going to honor our mothers, we should listen attentively. How many of you have moms that tend to ramble a little bit? Two hands? Let's all be honest with each other. I know you're afraid of getting smacked in the back of the head right now. But we all have mothers that ramble. I don't care. It's just a natural trait of most women to ramble a little bit. It's all right. We love you. Makes it a little hard to focus sometimes for us men, okay? But we need to learn to listen to our mothers attentively. Because mothers really do know what is best. Here, Mary, whether she knew it or not, she was used of God in this very situation at this wedding in Cana. And God used that situation and He used Mary so that people would believe upon her son. And you know what? Mary believed in her son. That's one of the beautiful things about mothers, isn't it? Mothers believe in their children. When nobody else will, mothers will believe in their children. And when nobody else will love you, your mothers will love you. In my professional career, I have seen a lot of people who've made really bad life choices. But you know what? No matter how many crimes they commit, no matter how many bad choices they make in their life, their mother still loves them. Amen? Mothers still love them. That's why we listen attentively, because mothers really have the best heart and the best intentions for all of us. We also learn from the Scripture, and especially from this story here in John 2, as we also listen attentively in honoring our mothers. If you want to honor your mothers, you should help cheerfully. Help cheerfully. Not with a sour heart, not with a bad taste in your mouth, not just because you feel obligated, but you should help cheerfully. And I think all of us can agree we have had trouble with that growing up at some point or time. Amen? We don't want to always help cheerfully. We don't want to always take the trash out cheerfully. We don't always want to clean up our messes cheerfully. We don't always want to do the chores that Mom wants us to do cheerfully. Christ here in this moment probably felt like he's being used a little bit, but guess what? He helped his mother cheerfully. He did what he was told to do. An important part of honoring our mothers is we ought to help them cheerfully. Amen? And that means helping right now in the here and in the very present. It means helping them when we're young. It means helping them when we get older. And it means helping them especially as they reach an age in life where they need you then, maybe more than they've ever needed you before. Even if they'll never tell you, even if they'll never speak of it, there's going to come a day and there's going to come a time when your mothers and your fathers are going to need your help And I hope and pray that you'll make the decision to honor them and help them cheerfully. Amen? Help them cheerfully. You know, what does that mean? I believe that means in caring for your parents as they age. Now, I'm not saying that you may be able to always care for your parents at home. You may not have that ability and you may not have that choice. But I see some sad things sometimes in pastoral ministry. How that you'll go and you'll visit somebody in the nursing home and they haven't seen their children and they couldn't tell you the last time when. That is a dishonor to your parents. I didn't hear anybody say amen. That is a dishonor to your parents. For everything that your mother and your father has done for you, you owe it to them to care for them in their last years. Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. Christ, He had this mindset about helping His mother cheerfully. And we see that in John 19, verse 27. We learn this next thing about how we honor our mothers. Not just helping them cheerfully, but remembering them. You notice I said remembering them especially in that time of their life when they need you the most. In John chapter 19, verse 27, Christ is getting ready to leave this world. He's already said, you know, woman, behold your son. And then He gets into this verse here. John, who is standing by, the only one of His disciples who is present there, then He says to His disciple John, He says, behold your mother. And from that hour, John took her into his own home. I believe that it's important if we're going to honor our mothers and our fathers that we remember them when they truly need us the most. That we give them that cheerful help. Here Christ, the oldest son, Joseph, his earthly father, having passed away, Jesus was given the duty in caring for His mother. Physically, providing a home for her, caring for her as she aged as a widow. And Christ is about to leave this world physically. He is about to die, become the sin of man and all the world. He's about to die, and He's going to come back to earth but for a little while, and then He's going to ascend into heaven. Christ knows what God has in store for Him. And in these moments, while He is on the cross, bearing the pain of the world, He takes a moment to ensure and remember that His mother is going to be cared for at the end of her life. And He makes this arrangement with John. And He says, John, this is now your mother. I think it's important that we make those kinds of plans in honoring the lives of our parents. Amen? Amen. He remembered his mother. It's important that we remember our moms. Not just when they get older, not just when they may be sick, but it's important that we remember our moms right now. And if you are still blessed to have your mother here in this life, right now is the best time to remember her. Maybe you don't have your mother with you anymore. She's gone on to be with the Lord. I still think it's important that we live a life that helps us to remember what our mothers have taught us. Years ago, as a young pastor, I had a church member who came to me. They didn't have a mother in their life. They didn't know anything about their mother other than her name. They didn't know where she was at. They didn't know much about the life she lived, where she currently resided at. And they asked me, how is it that I can bring honor to somebody whom I can barely even call my mother? The first thing I shared with them is that even though you live in that situation, it's still important that we bring honor to our parents. Amen? Whether you agree or not, I'm telling you, biblically, you need to bring honor to the name of your mother and your father irregardless of whether or not they've been the mom or the dad that they should have been to you. How do you do that? You do that by being the absolute best man or woman of God that you can possibly be. You be the best mother, you be the best father, you be the best person that you can be, and you'll bring honor to the name of your mother and your father, even if they've not been the mother and the father that you needed in your life. The last thing that I want you to know before we get ready to close out this message is this. I believe the Word of God teaches us that we should remind our mothers that they are needed. And when I say when we should remind our mothers that they're needed, that doesn't mean that we remind them that the laundry needs to be done. Amen? And I'm bad for this. And I'm not, it's not my mother, but I'm bad for this sometimes at home. I work Wednesday through Saturday. And I'm bad sometimes before I come to church on Wednesdays about, 30 minutes before I need to leave the house, I realize that my uniforms for the week haven't been washed. And I'm bad to remind my wife sometimes that my uniforms didn't get washed, when in reality, I could wash my own dang uniforms, couldn't I? Because that's what my wife tells me regularly. Yeah, we need our mothers as we grow up to make sure that our clothes get washed, that our hair gets washed, and the house gets cleaned, and that we have food to eat. And it makes them feel, and it helps them feel that, they are needed and they are important. But don't abuse the system, as they say, all right? But as we get older, and our mothers get older, I still think it's important that we help remind them that they're needed. And that's not by calling them and having them babysit your children when you and your husband want to go out. As much as they love their grandkids, it's more than just that. The need for them should be more than just babysitting grandkids. They should feel that they still have a role of importance in your life. And you know what? As an adult, my parents still have a role of importance in my life. And if you're an adult and you still are blessed with your mom and your dad, and they don't play a role of importance in your life for good advice, for good godly living and direction, shame on you. Shame on you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. He said, "Only take care and keep your souls diligent, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all of the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Here the author, Moses, speaking to the people. He's speaking to parents here. He says, make them known, talking about the teachings and the laws of God. Make them known to your children and your children's children. You see, mom and dad have the most vital role. And the most vital role is not making sure that your laundry's done. It's not making sure that the bathroom's clean. It's not making sure even that you have food to eat. The most vital role of mom and dad, according to the Word of God, is that they teach you what the Word of God says. That is the most vitally important role of mothers and fathers. And as we grow older, if we honor our mother and father, we ought to honor them by living our lives with the things that they taught us. Amen? Teaching us how to be good men and women of God. And you know what? Even if your mom and dad didn't teach you how to be good men and women of God, bring honor to their name by being the best man or woman of God that you can still possibly be. Help moms and dads feel as if they are needed, because you know what? They are. They play a role their whole life in helping shape you into the man or woman of God that you need to be. Why? Because that's what God has appointed them to do. It's what God's appointed them to do. As our praise and our worship team comes, we're getting ready to close out this message. We're going to move from a time of preaching and a time of teaching. Now we come to a point in a time and a message for response. I believe that the greatest way that we can honor our mothers and our fathers to be that man or woman of God that we need to be. Where does that begin? How does that all start? Being the best man or woman of God that you can possibly be undoubtedly begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We said that Christ loved His mother unconditionally and that Christ gave His life for His mother. When Christ was on the cross, He gave His life not only for His mother, but He gave His life for the whole world. The Word of God says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Christ Jesus, that He is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. The Word of God tells us that He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us of our sins. The Word of God tells us that all of us are sinners and that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Even going as far as to say as the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is everlasting life. If you want to honor your mother today, the greatest way that you can do that is be the best man or woman of God that you can be. And that begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never known Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never began a relationship with Him, ask Him to come into your life, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, would you not come today and be saved? Start your journey of being the best man or woman of God that you can be. Maybe you're here and you know Christ. You've had that relationship. You've been saved. But you've done less than spectacular in following and being that Christian that God would have you to be, that mom and dad taught you to be. Well, this altar is an amazing place. It's a place where you can come and you can reach out to God and you can pray. And you can cry out unto Him, and I promise you this, when you cry out unto God, He will hear and He will respond. You can come this morning and you can cry out to God and ask Him to change your heart and your life. You can ask Him to remove things from your life that keep you from being that man or woman of God that you need to be. And I believe this, if you'll leave it at the altar, God will give you what you need to help you overcome whatever it is that you have in your life that causes you to struggle and to falter. Maybe you want to come and pray this morning. Pray for your mom. Pray for your family. Pray for your home life. This altar is open. Dear Father, Lord, as we close out, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit draws us and teaches us. Lord, I pray that it draws us also to respond, to be obedient to Your call. Lord, however the Spirit moves today, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.